Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on another beautiful Sunday before we get to praise God for His grace. We are in the season of Epiphany, and today, today with the first Sunday after Epiphany in each church year, we always celebrate, you know, the baptism of our Lord Jesus. That's always the first Sunday after the Epiphany. And this year, especially, we're going to focus on how at His baptism, He lived up to that glorious name He was given, Messiah, Christ. Both of those mean the Anointed One. So we're going to see how special it was for us that He was anointed, the one set apart for our sake. We'll begin our worship with 221 in the Red Songbooks, a perfect song where we gather at His Word to listen to His Word. May God bless your worship this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him, and plead for His mercy.
Merciful
Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. We sing in response. Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling as your children, and make us heirs with him of everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Anointed One, our Christ, our Messiah, promised here in the first lesson, Isaiah chapter 42. Notice what he was anointed with and what it brought for you and me. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. The word of the Lord. We respond with verses 1 and 2 of hymn 709 in the Blue Songbooks.
Thank you.
second lesson comes from Acts chapter 10. Here we see the Apostle Peter realize the truth of Epiphany, that Jesus has been revealed as the Savior for all people, but also recognizing what being anointed with the Spirit led him to be able to do. From Acts 10. Then Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." The word of the Lord. The verse of the day echoes what we're going to see in the gospel lesson. The verse of the day comes from Mark chapter 1:11b, and you get to not just precede with the Alleluia, but respond with the Alleluia. We begin.
Alleluia.
You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.
Alleluia.
Now please stand in honor of the words and works of Jesus in the gospel. Gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 3, where we see Jesus anointed with the Spirit at his baptism. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith together in the ancient creed called the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. And if there are any children in the congregation who'd like to come forward for the children's sermon, meet me up here at the front step. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Good. Here in my bag today, I have something that will help us remember a beautiful truth. You know, when we consider the fact that Jesus was baptized, it helps us remember our baptisms. And with our baptisms, the Bible talks about a lot of blessings that we receive from baptism. It kind of pictures the blessings of baptism. What I have here is some things that the Bible kind of says are the pictures of the blessings of baptism. So I'm going to need some volunteers. Wyatt, why don't you come on up? Stand up. You can stand up right where you are. You guys can sit down. That's okay. Thank you. All right, so there's the first one. Hold on to that for a second. You're going to need another one. Come on up. Stand up right here. I'll give you this one. There you go. All right, another volunteer. Grace, come on up. And one more. Let's see. Come on up. All right, be careful with that one. These are some things that help us picture the blessings of baptism. Hold yours up. Go ahead. What do you see? What is it? Almost like it looks like a sheet or a cloth. Can I show you what this really is? It's kind of like a robe, isn't it? A white robe. Kind of looks like the one Jesus would wear. You know what that picture means? The Apostle Paul says, all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. It's that picture of Jesus and his righteousness, his white, right? Perfect cleanness covering us and all of our sins. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? What do you have, Adam? A rock. Why in the world would you have a rock? It's kind of circular. Do you remember what covered Jesus' tomb? It's a big circular rock, wasn't it? And yet, what happened with that big circular rock after it covered Jesus' tomb? What did the angel do for it with it? He rolled it away. It says in the Bible that being baptized into Christ is like being buried with Christ and raised to life like Christ was. So our baptisms connect us to his death, and it also gives the same power of his resurrection, gives us spiritual resurrection in here. What a beautiful picture that is of baptism. Why, what do you got? A birthday bag. Happy birthday, it says. What in the world does that have to do with anything?
Jesus got gifts from the wise men.
Not necessarily here when we're talking about baptisms. That's a good guess, though. Okay, not necessarily that either, but that was a really good guess, too. Jesus says you cannot enter the kingdom unless you are born of water and the Spirit. That's right, born again. And so this idea of being born, it's the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, washing with water through the Word. How cool is that? What a great picture. Baptism is like being born again. You and I were born spiritually sinful, but born again, just like that new life. Talked about the resurrection. What do you got? You have a cloth. What do you do with a cloth? You wash dirty things with it, that's right. Picture of baptism? That one might be the most obvious, right? It's using water to pour, that's the whole picture of the water. Baptism cleans us. The washing of rebirth and renewal. Be baptized and wash your sins away, we hear. Wow, what a beautiful blessing, it washes our sins away. All right, now here's the problem though. Beautiful pictures we have of baptism, but you know what we do? We forget about these pictures. We forget about the blessings. We have here the baptismal font at the front of our church every single Sunday, and yet sometimes we forget about the beautiful blessings we have. Being clothed with Christ, our sins washed away, we can still struggle with our guilt and wonder, you know, am I even forgiven? We forget that, yes, at our baptisms, God washed our sins away. We are clothed with Christ. Living our lives, we can fail to live our lives as if we're new and resurrected, as if we're reborn. Sometimes we can do bad things, maybe disobey our parents or those above us. We can be mean to others. We can only think of ourselves. Ah, we forget that we were born again. We are to live a new life. But God be praised, guess what? The sins that get washed away and that are covered are exactly those sins too. Even the ones where we take advantage or forget about the blessings of baptism. So let's say a prayer, thanking God for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us the blessing of baptism and all the things that it gives us. Lord, we ask that you cover our sins and wash them away. Forgive us for the times when we disobeyed you. Forgive us for the times when we forget about the blessings. But thank you, Lord, for connecting us with Christ's death and resurrecting us to give us rebirth and a new life. Now, Lord, help us appreciate the fact that Jesus associated with us, so we are to follow him. We ask all of this in his name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You can put all of the things back in this bag. And we will continue with the hymn of the day, hymn number 89 of the Red Songbooks. Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, through the Anointed One, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon text comes from Isaiah chapter 42, the first lesson. If you'd like to follow along, let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your servant. Amen. You know, nowadays, we've got so many things in this world, and so many people in this world, and so much variety and options, it can kind of be hard to find what you're looking for sometimes. It's kind of like doing a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and you need that, like, that one little piece, and it's lost in the whole mix, and you got to find it. It's got to fit just right. Employers trying to find that right employee that fits all of their qualifications and can do all the tasks that they need to do. You go to their grocery store and you need some ingredients. Not the Italian style, not the French style, not the whole bean. Nope, there it is. Just the simple cut green beans. You got a whole wall of them. You got doctors with all these ailments that they're trying to decide, all right, what is the treatment that is perfect for this ailment? Which one fits just right? Car shoppers, come on, you've been there. You go to hopping from car dealership to dealership, one that fits your family and the budget. There's just so many options. One of the hardest things when you have so many options and you're searching for something is not just finding it, but wondering, is this the right one? Did I find it? And it's no different with religion. In this world, there are a lot of saviors.
that are offered. It can kind of be a mess out there with saviors for saviors in the moment, or saviors in your lifetime, or saviors even for all eternity they claim. How do you know which one's the right one? How do you know what to look for? So today we're going to try to answer that question, what kind of Savior are you looking for? First thing we want to do is, if we're going to start a search, to come up with some search criteria. And one of the things that you think about with all of the gods out there and all of the saviors, with everything that's offered, we as Christians know that, all right, it should be from the Bible, right? It should be what God says is good. So you can strike out a lot of those names from what you see out there of those gods. But it's not just the names of the obvious gods, it's also the gods that the world offers. Saviors in the moment for comfort and joy, like materialism, alcohol or drugs. Even our own selfish, sinful pride can become our god in the moment. But one of the gods that really seeps in, that we let into our lives a lot, is popular opinion. You ever think about popular opinion as a savior? Sometimes in this world, especially if you go on social media, you can just be yelled at or screamed at for anything that you believe. And so sometimes we try to nestle in to that safest spot, the one where the fewest people are yelling at you, the fewest people are calling you stupid. And in that case, we make popular opinion into our Savior. But then God's Word comes, and it says that all of those gods are wrong. So, first search criterion, the one that we want to fulfill, is this Savior must be approved by God. That's what I'm looking for. Now, if that first search criterion is any indication, that means we can strike ourselves off the list, right? Approved by God. None of us are approved by God. We know how much we give in to evil. Why do we do that? We do that because we're weak. Let's be honest with ourselves, we're weak. Evil comes calling and we go following time and again. The evil out there, the evil in here, we struggle with it. We give in to that popular opinion. We give in to our sinful desires and wants. Search criterion number two. What kind of Savior are you looking for? I'm looking for one who is powerful enough to say no to and defeat evil every time. But we have to be careful with that one, because if he's that powerful of a Savior, then we're in trouble, right? If he's going to come sweeping out evil, well, we just established that includes you and me with our sinful natures. What happens if we're weak? I don't know, maybe you're better than I am. I am up and down spiritually. Are you like me? Sometimes you just feel up and you feel great and you feel close to God and you're doing great, and then other times you're down and you're strained, thought, word, and deed, more and more. And if this Savior comes onto the scene as powerful as he is, when I'm on that downswing and he comes in guns a-blazing and he bludgeons me over the head with his law, I'm done. I ain't going to make it. So what kind of Savior am I looking for? I'm looking for a Savior who's also gentle and patient. But how patient could he really be? Is this Savior even my Savior? There's almost 7.8 billion people in this world. Countless billions who have ever lived. And who am I? Who am I that this Savior would save me? I'm just some lowly, poor old soul that just a blip on the radar of history. And I'm a blip on the radar of history who has taken advantage of my God's grace far too often. Could this Savior really be my Savior? What kind of Savior am I looking for? I'm looking for a Savior who's looking for me, lowly old me. That seems pretty bleak. Those are some pretty hefty criteria that we're looking for in our Savior. Who could possibly fulfill all of that? You look at all those gods out there, they can't do it. And that's God's point at the end of Isaiah chapter 41. God is actually talking to and attacking all of those false gods that all of his Israelite people were following. He says, who are you? You're nothing. You can't offer my people anything. They're searching for a God, for hope, for comfort. You can't do anything for them. He literally says, you're wind and confusion. You have no power. You have no idea what's happening. But guess what? I do. And that's where right here in Isaiah chapter 42, he says, behold, my servant. You're looking for this kind of Savior with all these criteria. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. Nothing in this world is good enough. How could it be approved by God, that thing that we're looking for? Well, God says, here he is, this servant. Now, if that servant comes, how do you know? Who do you know that who that is? Well, look at what the Father himself said when the heavens tore open at Jesus' baptism. This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. There he was, announced, this one who has all of the Father's delight. Everything that he did was approved by God. And you know the crazy part is what his own cousin said about him. Did you know John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin? Now, I love my cousins, all right? And if you're watching online somehow, I love you. But let's be honest, those closest to you and family, they kind of know your sinful, not-so-God-approved tendencies and moments. If there was anybody that could point that out, you think John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, would. And yet, no, he said, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. Jesus comes to be baptized, and he says, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? His own cousin. In fact, Jesus was so obviously approved by God in everything that he did, that his enemies were trying to find something to condemn him with, and they couldn't. They had to lie, and that didn't even make sense. And if there was ever a moment where he was approved by God for all to hear and see, it was at the resurrection. When he died for our sins, God raised him to life and says, payment accepted. God says, you're looking for a Savior who's approved by me? Behold, my servant. My son Jesus. But if he's a man like you and me, he's got to be weak, right? Sure, he's God's son, but he's still a human, as weak as we are. How could he possibly be approved by God? Well, he continues through Isaiah, I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. That's how. Being anointed by the Holy Spirit himself, he would have that power. Now, how do you know that's Jesus? Again, at his baptism, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Jesus is the one anointed with the Spirit, and it was obvious to anybody who was with him. His disciple, Peter, in our second lesson, we heard his eyewitness account. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. God says, you're looking for a Savior who's powerful enough to say no to and defeat evil every step of the way? Behold, my servant, my son, Jesus. But with one so powerful, again, we have to be careful. Because when someone powerful comes onto the scene, it can be a scary thing. Think of those movies, those moments where that big powerful monster comes in and everything shakes and everybody is filled with fear. Or when that big strong gust of wind goes and all the candles poof. Go out. It's a scary moment. So when this Savior comes, as powerful as he is he going to come in power and slam onto the scene and snuff me out like a wick? Well, God says through Isaiah, he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. The Savior was going to come onto the scene not in arrogance and fanfare, no, but humbly. And thus Jesus came onto the scene, born in a manger, raised by poor parents in a seemingly insignificant town, a carpenter's son who comes to the banks of the Jordan River to be baptized right along with his people, even though he didn't need it. That's humble. And that's how he went throughout his ministry, showed that humility and that patience. He didn't come guns a-blazing, snuffing out all the weak faith that was there. No, he said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He spoke of leaving the 99 sheep for the sake of the one who was straying. He prayed for his disciple Peter as he was being tempted to reject him. He said to his disciples, even after they saw him die, and he was standing right there in front of them, risen to life, he said, peace be with you. Stop doubting and believe. God says, you're looking for a Savior who's not going to snuff you out or break you? Behold, my servant, my son Jesus. But could this Savior possibly be my Savior? Of all the criteria that we've looked at, the number one, the most important one that we need is that his grace even reaches me. Is it possible that he paid for my sins too, of all these people that have ever lived? God says through Isaiah, in faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope, not just the mainland in Israel, but all of the faraway islands would put their hope in him. He will bring forth and establish justice on earth, the whole earth, justice to the nations. And when Jesus came, his own cousin pointed to him once again and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His disciple Peter was standing there in a Gentile house. Foolish him, how could he not know that they'd be included too? I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And we've heard these before, but they're so good to hear again and again because that doubt can creep into our minds. Peter's fellow disciple said, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Justice to the nations, justified, declared not guilty. Everyone. God says, you're looking for a Savior who's looking for you, even little old you. Behold, my servant, my son Jesus. What kind of Savior are we looking for? We're looking for Jesus. It's 100% him, 100% the anointed one. He fulfills it all. And if there was any doubt left, God makes really clear what he says next. He lets us in on a little thing that he says to the Savior himself. And he reminds us of who he is. He says, this is what God the Lord says, the God of free and faithful grace, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. This is who we're talking about. This is the one who promises this, the creator God. The one who makes everything and sustains everything. And if he says it's going to happen, It's going to happen. That's confirmation that we have found the right one. And if you still need confirmation, take a look at what he says that he will guide the Savior to do, because you and I have experienced it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Those are things we've experienced. You and I, bound by sin and evil, freed. You and I, in the darkness of sin and unbelief, God shine the light of His Son in our hearts. Behold my servant. If there's any confirmation you need, you can look at your own life and see what Christ has done. In fact, that power that we didn't have, He's given to us, because now we have the Holy Spirit too. And we can say no to sin, all because of the Anointed One. This world, it can be difficult to find what you're looking for. So many options. Thanks be to God, He made very clear who our Savior was. No need to go searching, because He says, "Behold, my servant, my Son Jesus." Amen. Please stand. May God guard your hearts and minds through faith in the Anointed One. Amen. We now sing in response with the song printed for you on pages 8 and 9.
Thank you. We now have the joy as a congregation to join
together in prayer to our Lord. It's printed for you responsively on page 10. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Mary's Son, in the fullness of time you came into our world to save us from sin and death. Beloved Son of the Father, revered by the Magi, baptized by John, you came preaching and teaching, healing and comforting, forgiving and encouraging.
You are the light of life to those walking in darkness, and the joy of salvation to those who are dead.
Prince of Peace, shine like a beacon for us and the people of our world. Let the good news of salvation be heard in the remotest corners of the earth. Open our lips to speak of your name to those around us who still live without faith or hope. Lord of the Church, let your peace rule our hearts that we may use our gifts to serve you and each other in willing gratitude and joy. Watch over our loved ones near and far that they may remember your love and rejoice in your salvation. Strengthen the faith of the sick and disheartened. Give hope to those in despair and comfort those who mourn. Lord, we thank you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years to serve you. We ask for your continued care over Beth Gerald, Benny May, Anna Ennis, and all who are facing health challenges. Guide them and their doctors. Bless their recoveries and health. Comfort them with the hope of the resurrection and sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Be with those who are remembering loved ones who have passed, including the families of Bill Burgess and of John Lervold's Aunt Jackie. Strengthen their trust in your grace and keep them in the palm of your loving hand as you remind them of the meaning of Christ's empty tomb. We also come to you with joy and thanksgiving for your care of Vicki Underwood. We praise you that your healing hand has guided her into remission. Continue to bless her recovery in the months and years ahead. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Finally, bring us and all your believers into the heavenly home, where we will stand in the full light of your glory, and with all your saints and angels sing the everlasting song of triumph.
Amen. Continue with hymn 710 in the blue song.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Our Father in heaven. heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll sing the final two verses of hymn 709.
Good morning again. Thanks again for being patient with my voice. Have no fear in shaking my hand. It's not because of a sickness. And I know what some of you are thinking. It's from the football game yesterday. That's not true either. It's actually from coaching in our St. Mark's Youth Basketball League. So hopefully I'm not too intense. But thanks for being patient with that this morning. Please stick around. Sunday school and Bible study. We've got theology of the cross going on here in the sanctuary. And a note, because there were some questions about that new Sunday school study. That's open to anyone. Anybody can come to that. We have the Sunday school opening from 9:15 to 9:30. But from 9:30 till 10:15, it's a regular study. So we invite you to also join that one, too. A few announcements for you. There's a funeral for Bill Burgess. That's going to be at Hope in Pendron, if you knew Bill. It's 11 a.m. Saturday, January 18th. So this Saturday. LWMS calendars are on sale right now, so I think they're $10, and you can speak with one of the LWMS ladies, Clara or Ellie, and go check it out. I think they're in the lobby. There's a congregational meeting next week, next Sunday after the second service, an important one as we discuss some big things going on in the ministry, so please stick around for that next week. There's a movie night coming January 25th at 6 p.m. We're going to watch God's Not Dead, the first one. There's going to be some popcorn provided, but if you wanted to bring a picnic dinner, you could do that too. 6 p.m. January 25th. One more note. There's a note on this in the weekly news, but it's an interesting retreat, Lutheran Recovery Ministries retreat. That's in Arizona in February, if you're interested. It's for those interested in learning more about addiction issues. And if you have any questions about that, it's LutheranRecoveryMinistries.com. Once again, that's in the weekly news. Now we'll watch our Wells Connection for this month.